Let's take our Bibles once again and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. Isaiah, chapter 42. I'm going to actually be looking at verse 16, but I'm going to deal with a few of the other verses in this passage. I've entitled this message, What Christ Does for His Sheep. You say, well, that's everything. Yeah. But you know, if by the grace of God, I'm taught to behold the glorious beauty of God's mercy according to His covenant of grace in Christ, mercy to this poor, needy, helpless creature, I just, the older I get, the more I realize what I don't know. I just find myself, Lord, help me. I don't know what to ask for. I don't know how to pray. Thanks be unto God, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Isn't it wonderful to know that salvation is of the Lord? Salvation's of the Lord. I need a Savior. I need one to rescue me. If by the grace of God I'm made to see something, though I see through a glass darkly, but if I see something, God's compassion, then I'm a blessed man. I'm a happy man. I know just enough about man's depravity to say that I agree. I don't know the depth of it, but I agree. And I know that I died in Adam. I know that. I know just enough about God's grace and mercy and this poor wretched worm to know, I know this. I can't please God. I know that in myself. I know that. And I thank God that He's shown me that. I need to be instructed by God's Spirit. I need to be taught. I know that in the garden I didn't just kind of stumble in Adam and kind of trip up and, you know, still possess somewhat of a possibility or some kind of an ability to do. I know that. I know that to die spiritually, I know this at least in my head, and I believe God's taught me this in my heart, that I know that man's total being was corrupted. My will, my desire, my love, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to talk about, whatever. I know that it was immediately dead. It was dead. There was nothing. Nothing there. Nothing. I know that man was captured, arraigned, convicted. You're a sinner. You're a rebel against God. And corruption immediately began to work in Adam. He died spiritually and began to die physically. He desired now to hide himself from God, and now he wanted to provide his own covering before God for his rebellion. He never rebelled against God. And immediately, as soon as he rebelled against God, he got him some fig leaves, got him a limb off of a tree, and started taking some limbs, some leaves, trying to make him an apron. Oh, miserable state of man as he's born in Adam. spiritually lame on both of his feet, dead to do anything about it, blind to his need. I don't even know what I need. Please God, how? What can I do? What can I do? I believe this scripture right here, Isaiah 1, 5 to 6. The whole head's sick. I mean, that's anything I can think of, imagine, desire. The whole heart's faint. Sole of the foot, even to the head, there's no soundness, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed up, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Man born in Adam is a miserable creature. He's dead. And it's only by the grace of God that he even knows it. Man outside of Christ, unregenerate, he does not believe that he's dead. He doesn't believe that. He believes that somehow he's got some ability to do something. I may not be as bad as as the other one. I agree I might be a little, but I'm not as bad as others. I'm not like this man. I tithe. I do all these things. Fast. I do something. But a believer says this about himself. That old man, old wretched man that I am. You'll never get an argument out of a believer about how wretched he is. A believer will tell you. But then he'll tell you, say, you don't know the half of it. You think you know, you don't know. He's blind and he claims to see. He's deaf and he claims to hear. The heart is deceitful above all things and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? A carnal heart is going to lie to you every time. It's going to lie to you about the sovereignty of God. It's going to lie to you about the justice of God. It's going to lie to you about Christ, about Him being the particular Redeemer of His people. It's going to lie to you about your depravity. It's going to lie to you and tell you that God's wanting you to do something for Him. But the passage today in Isaiah 42 sets forth the will and the purpose of God. It sets forth the grace of God that we were talking about in that first message today. It talks about what Almighty God does for His people in Christ. Now I want us just to consider, just for a few minutes, Isaiah 42. 42 verse 1. This is what the Lord says. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now, behold the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of Jehovah. Here's what the servant, God's elect, God's Redeemer. Behold Him. Look upon Him. Look and live. Like that brazen serpent. Moses made that brazen serpent, put it on a pole. Whoever looked lived if they were bitten by a fiery serpent. I've said before, somebody said, you mean all they had to do is look? Yeah, but spiritually, if you realize that a man is spiritually blind, if he can see and looks to that slain Redeemer, slain for sinners, he's going to live. He already lives. He's alive. Behold my servant, my mediator, Behold, my priest. Behold, the one in whom I delight. Behold, the one in whom I've chosen all of my people. What's he going to do? He's going to bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. What does that mean? He's going to bring and declare the gospel. That is, God's judgment of all things. He's going to bring forth judgment. He's going to bring forth what God says is so. That's what he's saying. He's going to bring forth God's will and God's purpose and God's pleasure. He's going to bring forth judgment. Look at verse 2. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He's not going to behave in a contentious way and walk disobediently before his Father. He's going to walk with humility, accomplishing the Father's will. He's not going to cry, lift up, or cause his voice to be heard. He says the things that you hear me say. Who told him those things? His Father. He said, the things that I speak, the things I've heard of my Father. He humbled himself. I mean, realize who we're talking about. God's servant. God himself. God the Son, the Word, made flesh. Made himself of no reputation. Verse 3, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. A bruised reed, that's us by nature. Smoking flax, he's not going to forsake or break that. Those made to see themselves for who they are as being born in Adam, the Lord has given his word. He's going to bring forth his people. He's going to bring his elect. He shall bring forth judgment unto the truth. That is, he's going to bring God's will and God's purpose to victory. That's what that means. He's going to be victorious. He is the mighty God. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us, gave himself for us. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. He shall not fail for lack of strength in the work given him by the Father. Look at verse 1. Why is he not going to fail? Behold my servant whom I uphold. God Almighty upholds him. And he humbled himself under the mighty hand of God his Father in the accomplishment of the work of redemption. God's people cry, hallelujah. What a Savior. Man of sorrows. He says, he's not going to fail, not going to be discouraged. As to all of his enemies, he came unto his own received him not. He was hated, he was rejected. He's not going to be discouraged, he's not going to be broken. As to the weight of sin that he must bear, just think the eternal guilt, the eternal weight of the judgment, let me say it like this, of the guilt that was due his people. You take all of God's elect, all of those given him from before the foundation of the world, and here he is. He's answering for him. I can't even answer for my own. I can't bear up under that weight. I can't do it. I just can't do it. But he's not going to be broken as to the weight that he must bear. He's going to bear the eternal weight of eternal judgment that was due his people because they've sinned against an eternal God, and he satisfied eternal judgment for all of his elect by one sacrifice. By one sacrifice for sin. What a sacrifice. What a Savior. What a Savior, Neil. What a Savior. That Almighty God could pour out eternal wrath and one sacrifice for sin. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, set apart by God. What a sacrifice. What a Savior. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Till he set judgment in the earth, till he fully satisfied the justice of God for the sins of his people. He's not going to. Lord Jesus was given a work by the Father. He was given a commission, and he was bound to it. Here's the work. He summed it up. John 6, I'll read it. John 6, 39, 40. Here's the work. Here's everything. This is why he came. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me. Notice how many times you hear election. 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 Of all which he's given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him. And again, remember, Don't let you know the wiles of the devil say, everybody's believing on. I'm talking about believe on him and have no confidence in you. Believe on him. The salvation is of the Lord. The salvation by grace. It has nothing to do with me. This is the will of him that sent me, everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up the last day. Now, as to the fulfillment of the Father's will, I want you to listen. Now, I'm just going to look at four things, four promises, four things that the Lord said, I've done. He said, the Father said under the inspiration of God's Spirit, you behold my servant. Now, you look at him. One I uphold, mine elect. One I'm well pleased with. Now here's the four things, the four promises that he said in Isaiah 42, verse 16. Here's what he said. Number one, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, that they perceived not. Now here is the servant of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks of himself as the great shepherd of the sheep. I'm going to bring them by a way that they knew not. These, his people, they're blind. I'm going to bring the blind. You know, if I can't see, I'm going to have somebody lead me. I'm going to have some help. I'm going to have one to take me and keep me and guide me. I'm blind to the obstacles. I'm blind to the obstacles of the journey. I'm blind to the need of my soul. I'm blind. I'm blind to God's demand for righteousness. What do we know? I'm going to bring the blind by a way that they knew not. In Adam's fall, we can't perceive the way to God. This right here is the reason that you read in the Scriptures that everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. Well, I think you ought to do this. Well, I think you ought to do this. Well, this is what I think you ought to do. You know the reason men say that? Because we're blind. We don't know. Can you imagine? You take a blind man. I mean, I'm talking about somebody physically blind. And what you do is you tell him, say, now listen, I'm gonna get you to do something for me. Now we're here in Fairmont, West Virginia, and I need you to go to Franklin, Tennessee. And here's your map. And you're on your own. I'm going to bring the blind by way that they can't perceive, that they knew not. We need spiritual eyes. We need spiritual ears. But Jehovah has sent the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd. You can give me spiritual eyes, Pat, and spiritual ears, and I still don't know the way. I got to follow Him. You know, if I don't know where I'm going, and I'm driving behind you, and you know where you're going, and I know that you know where you're going, it doesn't really matter to me what the exit signs say. You know what I'm looking at? I'm watching the back of your car. And if you turn, I'm turning. If you stop, I'm stopping. If you go, I'm going. Because I don't know the way. I don't know how to get there. Somebody can tell me something here in Fairmont, and I've been here just long enough to know that I still don't know where I'm going. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the slang of some of the... There's places that people call things around here that they're not marked like that. It's just not marked. I read the signs, and nobody knows what I'm talking about. I'm going to bring the blind. I'm not going to send them. I don't need him to send me. I'm blind. I'm blind to my need. But I tell you what, by eyes of faith, I see Him. I see Him. If He doesn't bring me, I tell you this. I rest assured, no man cometh to the Father, but by me. How am I going to go? Only by Him do I have hope. And of Him it must be said. Hebrews 2:13, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, I brought them. Can you imagine finding yourself standing before God Almighty, brought there by the shepherd? And then we say, you know what? Thanks be unto God that He brought me here. I'd have never made this. And then He said, secondly, in verse 16, I will lead them in paths that they've not known. Paths of righteousness. Paths by faith. Paths of truth. Listen to Psalm again. I'll read Psalm 23:2. It's the 23rd Psalm. That one, the Lord is my shepherd. Listen to this. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I want to walk before God rightly. I do. I want to. I want to be a believer that walks consistently with the profession that I make. I want to. But I can tell you this, everything that I see myself doing is mixed with sin and unbelief. I know that there's a new man there. creates. It's created in righteousness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But I need to be led in paths that I don't know. Here's a path. And listen to this path. And tell me if you could have figured this out. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now, buddy, there's a path right there. God Almighty predestinated me, determined the end result, the destination beforehand, because I was chosen to be His Son. Now are you the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this. When He appears, when we see Him face to face, we're going to be like Him. Now that's a path that I've just not known. I couldn't choose myself. I couldn't make myself a son. He said, I will bring the blind by way that they knew not. I'll lead them in paths that they have not known. How do we walk? We walk by faith. According to God's Scriptures. According to the providence of Almighty God as He directs and leads and moves. He gives us heart to believe Him. Spirit of God teaches us. Those are paths that you and I just don't know. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me. Every believer readily admits, I did not and I could not mark out the path to life eternal for myself. How could I have done that? The path that they've not known. God chose them. Christ redeemed them. Spirit of God regenerated them. Seals them, keeps them, teaches them. God's going to bring them to Himself by Jesus Christ. What a path. What a path. I didn't know. I must be led by Him who loved me and gave Himself. Oh, Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, oh, the servant of Jehovah, the one in whom the Father delighted. One that worketh all things after the counsel of His will. Lead me in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. He says back in verse 16, He said, I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. You know, back in the Old Testament and in the wilderness, the Lord, in guiding His people, had a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of a fire. At night, that pillar of a fire was light to them, warmth to them. Pillar of a cloud, I mean, out there in the desert, and, you know, shaded them. Out there in the hot sun, can you imagine? Over there, just a little bit of shade. You know, you get out there in the hot, hot sun, and you just walk in shade under a shade tree, and all of a sudden temperature just dropped. Can you imagine? The mercy of God. I'm going to make darkness to be light to them. Darkness in the Scriptures, not just the Old Testament, it usually has reference to ignorance. Ignorance, you know. Look, John 12:35. I'll read this to you. John 12:35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth. He that walks in ignorance, he doesn't know. He said, but I'm going to make things that are unknown to you. Crooked things. I'm going to make those straight. And things that are unknown, I'm going to make you to know them, to understand them. Here the Lord reveals that for His people, He's going to make us see by faith that He's working all things for good. He's working all things together for good to them that love God. them who are the called according to His purpose. He's going to take things that are darkness to us, or crooked, or perceived to be darkness. What's God doing? What's He doing? These crooked or dark things that we look at first and they seem to be, contrary, adverse to our way. And it just, how can this be for my good? How can this be something that is going to work together for good? He said, I'm going to make darkness light before them. Now, I will admit, I often say that I look back and I can see some things that the Lord was pleased to send me through or caused me to go through, that I can look back now and say, I can see how that, I may not have seen it in the present, but I can tell you this by faith. He gives us understanding to know concerning His mercy and grace in the midst of our trials. It's always there. It's always there. Even in the midst of chastisement, trials, and troubles, and tribulations, still, a believer, those trials that are grievous, often they're grievous, they're hard, they're tough, and you think, how? But still, God Almighty says, I'm gonna make darkness light before them. Crooked things are going to be straight. And a believer is going to say, Lord, you know. Lord, you said you'd never leave me. You're never going to forsake me. I know that. I don't understand what's going on right now. But I'm so glad you're here. I'm just so glad I have your word. I'm glad I have your promise. I'm thankful. And I'm thankful that you give me a heart to believe you and to rest. Lord, help me. We, by the grace of God, are going to be made to say this light affliction is but for a moment. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I know that. Even in the midst of those crooked things, He said, I'm going to make them a level place. Straight. Being yoked to Him. Yoked to Him. He said, take my yoke upon you. My burden, light. And then He says in closing, these things will I do unto them. And look at this. And not forsake them. Not forsake them. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 10 says this, fear thou not. Now, brethren, we need to hear this. Lord, give us understanding right here. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. If the Spirit of God brings that to my memory in the midst of whatever we're going through. Now listen. Now here's some comfort right here. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'm your God. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. I will help thee. I will help you. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Look at verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. few years ago, Sarah and Jimmy, my daughter and her husband, brought the kids up. It was around Halloween, and we went up to Morgantown next to Gabriel Brothers there, Morgantown. And they had this little Halloween place where you go in there and buy costumes and stuff, but they had this little maze if you wanted to walk through it, you know. And you got in there, and Jackson, little grandson, he said, "Papa, will you go in there with me?" I said, "Oh, yeah, we'll go." I said, no big deal. Well, we walked in this little room, and I'm telling you, I mean, you could see there's a little room. You open that door right there, and just, guy said, "Just open the door." And he said, "Just go right on through." He said, "You'll come out the other side." Buddy, you get in there, and all of a sudden that door closes behind you, and it's pitch black. And whenever you touch the wall, it had a little electric shock to it. And I mean, I didn't want to touch a wall, and I couldn't see. I'm walking, and I may walk into the wall, and you got to touch it to. And that Jackson held my hand, and Buddy, he got right behind, because he got into the wall too, and he was right behind me. I mean, if somebody's gonna get shocked, Papa's gonna get shocked. And he held. I'm telling you, Jackson. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Now, Carl, I can go to bed at night on that one. What the Lord has done for His people, behold my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. The Lord said, I'm going to bring you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to lead you. And I'm not going to forsake you. Bless these words, our heart, for Christ's sake.